I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had, there are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
He said you were
involved.
You are very racist.
He said he
and you're going to be dealt with.
He said he works for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist, you're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs, fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, August 7th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride. How wild and dystopic? Well, we have several illustrations of that, not the least of which is the hijacking of our political system long, long time ago, by degrees, over the years, decades, generations. And we've been left with a vestige, a form of a thing without the function of it. And we've been misled and mistaught history and things. So we'll straighten that out a little bit here this morning, correct the record, and do a little remedial history. Compliments of the Reese Committee. And this comes to me by way of Larry. So thank you, Larry. We'll probably dive into the mailbag a little bit today. That would be good. In fact, good morning. And welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, September 11, 2023, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. It is the 22nd anniversary of September 11, 2001. What does that mean? What does that signify? I don't know about you, but I think James Corbett has done a masterful job of documenting what has been going on over the last 22 years, and even before, obviously. So what I want to do this morning is, for a little bit here, we will eavesdrop on the conversation James had with Brock West and Ryan Christian. Video is called COVID-911 from Homeland Security to Biosecurity, Watch Along and Q&A. If you haven't seen it, you can go over to CorbettReport.com and see it and listen to it, obviously. But I think what we'll do to start the morning is we'll listen to this for a little bit. And I want to talk about what this means in a broader sense, in a broader context, because I don't think most people, even those who are extremely well-informed, I don't think most people really understand, or perhaps we don't want to realize what this means. The significance is very profound, to say the least. So, without further ado, let's give a listen to the video titled COVID-911 from Homeland Security to Biosecurity. This is the watch along and Q&A. So give this a listen. Go ahead.
Welcome to The Last American Vagabond. I am honored to be joined today by James Corbett and Brock West to do a little watch-along and question and answer afterward in regard to their recent documentary entitled COVID-911. Obviously, tomorrow is the anniversary of 9/11, and we wanted to go over in a really important time where we are watching seemingly the transition from the security state into the biosecurity state. And we've talked a lot about this on the channel, so as James Corbett as well, and a lot of other people covering, you know, one of these inflection points in history where it seems these things are being driven into reality, sort of like a 9/11 forward. And people have talked a lot about even COVID-19 being one of those moments. Well, it seems like there could be something coming next. Maybe that was the moment. We're going to discuss this. We're going to go through and watch this documentary. We're going to stop here and there for some comments, and we will have a Q&A at the end. So make sure you put your questions in and we'll get to them. James, thank you for joining me today. Brock, how are you, brother?
I am fantastic. Thank you for having me here. This is going to be very interesting, isn't it? Because this documentary is now 3 years old, but we'll see how it holds up as to whether or not it accurately predicted some of the things that were coming and what we've seen over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing well, Ryan and James. Thanks for having me on board for another watch along here of this really, if you don't mind me saying, seminal Corbett Report podcast documentary. This was one of the ones that really did get a lot of traction and is one of the more important works that James has put out, in my opinion. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how things have changed in even just that short 3-year period from 2020 when we originally released it.
Yeah, 3 years in the new normal is like 30 years in the old normal, I guess. So, yeah. Here we go.
Exactly. Can't you see the grace?
Yeah. Right. Well, I agree, though. I think this is a really important, you know, point to understand. I mean, really, the bigger thing is about, you know, whether this is something, in my mind, at the very least, something that is being executed, like driven into reality, as opposed to just organic events that are popping off and, you know, some of them being taken advantage of, obviously. But we've talked a lot about the biosecurity state and what that means. And yeah, I agree. I think this is something that really, hopefully even more so, this will wake people up to the previous reality and previous coverage of what 9/11 really was and so on. Right.
So, because, yes, exactly. Let's underline that, because I've had a lot of feedback over the past couple of years of people who have just started waking up to reality because of the craziness of the past few years, who presumably probably were the types of people who poo-pooed and dismissed that crazy 9/11 conspiracy theorizing until the point that they started to realize that, oh, wait, I'm being lied to about virtually everything. Maybe I should look into that. So, yeah, hopefully this is kind of for people who are just finding about this, this might be a backdoor into 9/11 truth as well.
Right. Exactly. Well, anything else you guys want to add before we jump right in and, you know, get started?
I think we should get into it.
All right. Well, make sure you guys leave your comments in the chat. We will try to watch as we go through, but we'll come through at the end and grab some questions and answer those for you guys. And let's get right to it.
"9/11, as we were told repeatedly in the days, weeks, and months after the attack, was the day that changed everything.
In the span of one devastating morning, America changed forever.
Good morning. America may never be the same, and this is why.
American life will change forever as a result of this attack.
Nothing will ever be the same again.
Nothing will ever be quite the same again.
Life will never be quite the same.
These were no empty words. They were plain statements of fact. The world did change on that day. 9/11 was the carte blanche for a great reset, the institution of a new normal in international relations and domestic affairs. From the creation of the Department of Homeland Security and the militarization of the police to the multi-trillion dollar wars of aggression to reshape the Middle East, our lives today are drastically different than they were before that fateful Tuesday in September 2001.
On September the 11th, enemies of freedom committed an act of war against our country.
If September the 11th hadn't happened, our assessment of the risk of allowing Saddam any possibility of him reconstituting his programs would not have been the same.
For the first time, airport security will become a direct federal responsibility.
I don't understand how a sexual assault can be made a condition of my flying.
This is not considered a sexual assault.
It would be if you weren't the government.
The old fact sheet said the primary function of the FBI is law enforcement. That makes sense. That's what we grew up with. The new fact sheet says the primary function of the FBI is national security.
If you see something suspicious in the parking lot or in the store, say something immediately. Report suspicious activity to your local police or sheriff. If you need help, ask a Walmart manager for assistance.
All of this was brought upon us in a single day, and night fell on a different world, a world where freedom itself is under attack.
The Obama administration's internal legal justification for assassinating U.S. citizens without charge has been revealed for the first time.
I don't know. If the president's going to kill these people, he needs to let them know. Some of the people might be terrorists or people who are missing fingers. Some people have stains on their clothing. Some people have changed the color of their hair. Or people who might like to pay in cash. Or people who have 7 days of food on hand.
NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton is warning that terrorists are using cell phone encryption and literally getting away with murder.
Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But nearly two decades later, 9/11 has gone from a touchstone event shaping all of the Western world's national security decisions to a fading cultural memory of a trauma that took place before the newest generation of high school graduates were even born. 9/11 is no longer a driving political issue. But, as if on cue, a new event has come along to throw the world into chaos. Once again, we are being told that the world has changed forever.
This is not normal. At least it wasn't until a few weeks ago, when everything we take for granted, everything moved just beyond our grasp.
As a global community, we've experienced a once-in-a-lifetime event that will shift and reshape our behaviors and perceptions for quite some time.
This will be the new normal. Until a vaccine is developed.
Meaning the new normal could last for months, even years.
So a return to normal as we knew it is not on the cards in the near future.
And, once again, this is no empty rhetoric. Governments, businesses, and NGOs are now coordinating at the international level on a great reset to once again completely reshape the world we are living in.
History would look at this crisis as the great opportunity for reset.
The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that this human tragedy must be a wake-up call. It is imperative that we reimagine, rebuild, redesign, reinvigorate, and rebalance our world.
Reset cannot mean, we can't think of it in terms of sort of pushing a button and going back to the way things were. And the normal was a crisis. The normal was itself not working.
I think all Canadians understand that the restart of our economy needs to be green. It also needs to be equitable. It needs to be inclusive.
What we're going to have to figure out, and I think what we're all going to have to figure out together, is what our new normal looks like. Our new normal includes physical distancing from others. Our new normal includes wearing masks where appropriate. Our new normal includes us knowing where this virus is each and every day, where we live, where we work, where we want to travel.
In parts of Europe, immunity passports are being considered for people who are believed to be immune to the coronavirus. While in China, some cities have already implemented QR codes that generate a color in order for officials to enable how freely an individual may move around outdoors.
Those paying attention will have already noted the parallels between the war on terror declared after 9/11 and the war on the invisible enemy that has been declared on COVID-19. In fact, the security imperatives imposed by this pandemic crisis are so similar to those imposed by the terror crisis that, in many cases, the new security screening tools that are being put into place to combat COVID-19 are openly acknowledged to be mere upgrades of screening tools deployed after 9/11.
Most people know CLEAR by going to the airport. It was born after 9/11. This is another crisis with a new component that's being born. Explain what this product is in terms of how it's going to work relating to COVID.
So you're right. CLEAR was born out of 9/11. And it was about a public-private partnership leveraging innovation to enhance homeland security and delight customers. And that was really the beginning of screening 1.0. And just like screening was forever changed post 9/11, in a post-COVID environment, you're going to see screening and public safety significantly shift. But this time it's beyond airports, right? It's sports stadium, it's retail, as Dana talked about. It's office buildings, it's restaurants. And so while we started with travel, at our core, we're a biometric secure identity platform where it's always been about attaching your identity to your boarding pass, the airport, or your ticket to get into a sports stadium, or your credit card to buy a beer. And so now with the launch of CLEAR Health Pass, it's about attaching your identity to your COVID-related health insights for employers, for employees, for customers. Everybody wants to know that each other's safe to start to reopen businesses and get America moving.
Right. Yes, in some ways, the coronavirus security state is merely an extension of the 9/11 security state. But even more disturbing parallels between 9/11 and COVID-19 are to be found at a deeper level of analysis. It is true that, just like the response to the 9/11 attacks, the response to the COVID-19 crisis is being framed in terms of security. But whereas the post-9/11 era introduced America to the concept of homeland security, security from terrorists, individuals with identifiable intentions belonging to groups with stated political goals, the COVID-19 era is introducing the world to an altogether more abstract concept, biosecurity. Originally employed to describe threats to the environment, the introduction of invasive species to a habitat, for instance, or the transmission of infectious diseases among crops and livestock, the term biosecurity was injected into mainstream political discourse when the 2001 anthrax attacks linked bioterrorism to the global war on terror. Suddenly, biosecurity was a pressing national security threat, and an entire architecture of national and international legislation was introduced to institute procedures for implementing medical martial law. In the U.S., the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act was passed in multiple state legislatures, giving governors the power to forcibly quarantine and even force vaccinate their populations in the event of a declared public health emergency. On the international level, the World Health Organization adopted the International Health Regulations in 2005, obligating all 196 WHO member nations to recognize declared public health emergencies of international concern, like pandemic disease outbreaks, as a global threat requiring international cooperation.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
So welcome back to today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This obviously is, today is Monday, September 11, 2023, the 22nd anniversary of September 11, 2001. We are listening to sort of eavesdropping on the watch-along and Q&A that James Corbett did with Ryan Christian and Brock West. It's titled COVID-911, From Homeland Security to Biosecurity, Watch-Along and Q&A. And so we're going to keep listening to that, and then we're going to talk about the broader implications, because they are staggering, and I don't think most people realize, even though what we're listening to and what we already know is staggering. But we're going to listen along a little bit more, and then we'll talk about the broader implications. So can we give that a listen again?
Some have even argued that the legislation is broad enough to allow organizations like NATO leeway to enter countries in the interest of controlling the outbreak. Once again, the tie between this biosecurity paradigm and the war on terror paradigm is openly acknowledged. In a 2002 paper on the emerging biosecurity field, two U.S. environmental researchers noted the way that 9/11 had opened the door for biosecurity research and legislation. The events of September 11th and subsequent anthrax assaults have made U.S. policymakers and the public more aware of our vulnerability to organisms released with the intent to cause significant harm, they wrote. In 2010, the World Health Organization issued its own information note on biosecurity, stating that the overarching goal of biosecurity is to prevent, control, and/or manage risks to life and health, and, echoing post-9/11 declarations about the need for global cooperation in the war on terror, that this goal can only be reached through a harmonized and integrated biosecurity approach based on international standards. What this predictably bland language obscures is the way that biosecurity is used to invoke emergency powers and install new security procedures. Just as the Homeland Security paradigm used the presumed threat of terrorism as an excuse to curtail civil liberties, so too does the biosecurity paradigm use presumed threats to public health as an excuse to curtail civil liberties.
In Hangzhou, to enter a tower block, you need to have your temperature taken and registered. And you must have an app on your phone into which you input your name, temperature, recent travel, and ID number. The information generates a color code.
In Hangzhou, to go out of the community or to public activities, you need to have a green code. This green, yellow, or red code is automatically decided through the system. It uses big data to decide whether you've been to affected districts or come into contact with those people.
Chinese police officers are also seen in another disturbing video, nailing in wooden planks to block the front door of an apartment with people inside who had just returned home from Wuhan. Afterwards, officials are seen sticking a red sign beside the front door, which reads, "The people in this house have just returned from Wuhan. Don't be in contact with them." The poor people inside are heard desperately screaming, "Open the door!"
Melbourne is in full lockdown tonight as historic Stage 4 restrictions take effect, forcing entire industries and shopping precincts to close. Health officials say it's the only option to stop the second wave, and we'd be looking at 20,000 cases if we hadn't shut down.
Can you, like, report this? I'm in my pajamas.
What's this?
I had an ultrasound in an hour. Because
yeah, she's pregnant, so...
I'll take it easy.
What's this about?
I have an ultrasound in an hour.
Let me finish and all that's fine. It's in relation to a Facebook post, in relation to a lockdown protest you put on for Saturday.
Yeah, and I wasn't breaking any laws by doing that.
You are, actually. You are breaking law. That's why I'm arresting you, in relation to insult.
How can you arrest her? That's...
Police...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Back to the 22nd anniversary installment of September 11. After September 11, 2001, we have seen some dramatic changes. What happened 22 years ago? What has happened over the last 3 years? We're eavesdropping on James Corbett with Ryan Christian and Brock West in the video titled COVID 911 from Homeland Security to Biosecurity, their watch along and Q&A of James Corbett's documentary. And then we will talk about it because there are staggering implications. And though most people have seen what has happened over the last 22 or even most recently the last 3 years, we don't really, I'm not hearing people talk about what this means in the broader context, and it's pretty clear and straightforward, but the implications are pretty shocking. So we'll talk about that. First, we're going to continue to listen a little bit. So here we go.
Are preparing to launch their aerial arsenal as part of a crackdown on COVID rule breakers. High-powered drones will be used to find people not wearing masks and cars too far from home.
Dragonfly's public health and safety system uses standard 4K cameras to provide anonymized data on social distancing, heart rate, respiratory rate, and fever detection.
My orders are sa police pati military. Pati mga barangay, shoot them dead.
Why are you surrounding my children? Please step away from my children. Please step away from my children.
Right.
Your children
can
are fine.
Just go home,
I'm fine, right? But he's got, I've got cuffs that are too tight on my arms. All I was doing was shopping. I explained to you that I don't have to have a mask on for health reasons. And then three people come up to me, start twisting my arms up. For what?
What's on him?
Can you tell me why I'm under arrest? Why have I got cuffs on? Right, well, you can't just detain me under what law?
Well, at the moment, we don't have specific powers, but they will come very shortly, I'm sure. But in the British policing model, we always start by talking to people. We always start by advising people. We can talk even more firmly to people.
Who the f*** you think you're grabbing? Hey, who are you grabbing? Get off me! I told you, no! Now get off me, or I'll get you locked up. Get the f***! Oi! Who the f*** are you grabbing there?
I'll spray you, mate.
What? You're not spraying me for nothing?
He hasn't done nothing wrong.
There's a significant police presence there. A number of these protesters chanting freedom. We can also see that crowd, just the size of that crowd and the number of police that have gathered. There's public order response, there's mounted police as well. Also, riot police have mobilised to try and manage this crowd.
The nightmare.
Well, let's take a break here and answer and address some questions and thoughts, if I can get this to come up properly. There we go. Man, I mean, it's just, it's almost incredible just to watch this again. As much as we're all very aware of this stuff, it's just almost speechless. I can't believe this happened, just as much as we all saw it. So what's on your mind, James?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we're at the stage where people just kind of are sick of this and just want to almost in a way forget about it, or, yeah, okay, that happened. Yeah. And in a sense, you know, it's the fulfillment of what we were saying at the time, no new normal, etc. Well, people are just like, okay, whatever, that happened and that was in the past, but what, now we're over it. Because it is, yeah. I'm struggling with words for this because this does bring back the incredible trauma that we were going through at that time that was right there and that was completely and totally unimaginable by most people before this point. Yeah, okay, we know there's people with big dark agendas, etc., but you know, what are they going to do? They're not going to show up on your doorstep arresting you for posting something on Facebook. Yes, they are. Yes, they did. This just happened, and people are already starting to kind of forget the incredible serious nature of what we've just lived through and what it portends for the future. So, you know, it is good to remind ourselves of this and see some of this footage again.
I think this is where it intersects with the concept of, you know, whatever people's thoughts are on the idea of the mass psychosis or whatever we discuss around the psychological aspect, that people are desperate to they don't want to envision that, they don't want to bump up against this again. So there are people that are very aware even that this is a terrible thing and they did this to us, but they'd rather not even touch it again. They'd hopefully we can move forward. I don't want to think about it anymore. It's they've been mentally and psychologically scarred by it. I mean, we all understand that, you know, and so it's, they're playing into that, I would argue, you know, it's, and in the law part you mentioned, you know, I mean, there's so many comments we could make about any one of these clips, but you mentioned the Facebook clip with the pregnant woman that's being arrested. I just find it staggering that we can be in a point where you can alter a law somewhere, or not even a law, just a right, some kind of emergency measure, and somehow that person is supposed to know that in real time while they're posting something on Facebook. Is it retroactively illegal? You know, it's so clear this was such a violation, and they knew that too.
You know, good point, Ryan. I am going to look up what happened with that case, because I don't know what happened. I know with a lot of these cases, of course, these people get taken in, they get booked, they get arrested, they get whatever, and then they take it to trial and it's dropped. I mean, this happened to so many people because they couldn't make it stick, because no, they didn't actually have laws preventing you from posting things on Facebook or whatever. They were making it up as they were going along. They were lying. And a lot of it was challenged successfully in courts. And we should follow up on that, because that's an important part of this story.
I do actually believe that. I don't know exactly what happened with that particular case with the pregnant woman in Australia, James, but excuse me, the push for online censorship and the push for cracking down on online misinformation and disinformation going against the powers that shouldn't be, there is a massive bill, much like the C-19 in Canada, going through Australian Parliament right now. So, you know, that's the main effect. It doesn't matter about this individual.
Now they're going to try to bring into law what they were pretending was the law.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I was just talking about on the show earlier today about the idea of emergency governance. You know, we're in this really dangerous time where everything, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the example of the New Mexico governor basically saying openly, you're no rights, all rights have limits. That we, if as long as I declare an emergency, and then literally later declares an emergency, a health, public health emergency for guns. And then pulls the idea of the open carry and concealed carry for 90 days. But how much do you want to bet that goes on indefinitely, like the rest of our temporary emergency status? You know, it's alarming, and that's what all of this is.
Exactly, and that's why I did my podcast on states of emergency. I believe it was episode 410 of the Corbett Report. Anyway, people can look it up on my site. It's all about that, and the fact that we are this truly, the past few years has been the attempt to bring in a new governing paradigm for the planet, essentially rule by emergency decree. And unfortunately, now we're in the aftermath of the crater that has been left by this event, in which they're trying to consolidate all of this and push it into law in various ways, like the censorship bills you're talking about, like the WHO pandemic treaty, etc. Now they're trying to codify it into law, while everybody else is just trying to go back to living their lives, because they don't want to think about this anymore.
Yeah.
All the more reason why it's important to understand, like from an American perspective, at the very least, why your constitutional rights are important and why they're so desperately trying to kind of push that into the background. You know, I know there's lots of criticisms around it. I have some myself, but nonetheless, it's important to understand what your rights actually are today, you know, as it's drifting into the background.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Right. Well, we're just getting into the meat of it here with the biosecurity, et cetera. So perhaps we can get back into it, and again, people can leave their comments and questions in the various chats of whatever platform you're watching on, and we'll circle back to it at the end.
Sounds good.
The Irish police state that is coming into view on the back of this pandemic panic is not a temporary state of affairs, nor is it a haphazard set of measures thrown together on an ad hoc basis. It is the creation of a new form of governance. This new form of governance relies on the perceived sense of crisis, in this case, a public health crisis, to justify constant surveillance of the public and new powers to inhibit the travel of anyone deemed a health risk. Famed Italian philosopher Giorgio Agamben has documented how this biosecurity state is being erected on the back of the panic that 9/11 and the war on terror helped induce in the public. We might say that once terrorism was exhausted as a justification for exceptional measures, the invention of an epidemic could offer the ideal pretext for broadening such measures beyond any limitation. The other factor, no less disquieting, is the state of fear, which in recent years has diffused into individual consciousness and which translates into a real need for states of collective panic, for which the epidemic once again offers the ideal pretext. Therefore, in a perverse vicious circle, the limitation of freedom imposed by governments is accepted in the name of a desire for safety, which has been created by the same governments who now intervene to satisfy it. The parallel nature of 9/11 and COVID-19 as catalyzing events ushering in states of collective panic and, ultimately, new forms of governance is seen most clearly in the area where these two paradigms overlap: bioterrorism. The molten steel on the Ground Zero pile had not even cooled before the American public and the people of the world were confronted with the specter of bioterrorism. Beginning a week after 9/11 and continuing for weeks thereafter, a series of letters containing anthrax spores were mailed to media personalities and government officials in an apparent continuation of the terrorist attack on the U.S. The letters were quickly tied to both Al-Qaeda and Iraq in the mainstream media.
Peter, from three well-placed but separate sources tonight, ABC News has been told that initial tests on the anthrax sent to Senator Daschle have found a telltale chemical additive whose name means a lot to weapons experts. It is called bentonite. It's possible other countries may be using it too, but it is a trademark of Saddam Hussein's biological weapons program.
It does mean for me that Iraq becomes the prime suspect as the source for the anthrax used in these letters.
The 24/7 coverage of the event in the media ceased abruptly, however, when it was discovered that the strain of anthrax used in the attacks sourced not to Iraq, but to the U.S. military's own bioweapons laboratory at Fort Detrick, Maryland. But this convergence of terrorism and biosecurity did not start with the anthrax attacks. It began in June of 2001, a full 3 months before 9/11 and the declaration of the war on terror itself. That was when a number of ranking U.S. military and intelligence officials took part in Dark Winter, a high-level exercise that simulated the U.S.'s response to a smallpox attack on the homeland by bioterrorists. The drill, co-hosted by the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, took place at Andrews Air Force Base on the 22nd and 23rd of June 2001, and even involved fake news reports that were broadcast to the participants as the simulation unfolded.
On day six of the smallpox epidemic, the White House confirmed that federal government officials and military personnel are being vaccinated. 300 people have died. At least 2,000 are infected with smallpox. Still, no group claims responsibility for unleashing the deadly smallpox virus. But NCN has learned that Iraq may have provided the technology behind the attack to terrorist groups based in Afghanistan.
In an incredible parallel, the same Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security that co-hosted Dark Winter also co-hosted Event 201, a simulation of a globally spreading novel coronavirus pandemic that was held in New York just months before the declaration of the globally spreading novel coronavirus pandemic that hailed the advent of the era of biosecurity. This exercise similarly involved fake news broadcasts.
It began in healthy-looking pigs, months, perhaps years ago. A new coronavirus spread silently within herds. Gradually, farmers started getting sick. Infected people got a respiratory illness with symptoms ranging from mild flu-like signs to severe pneumonia. The sickest required intensive care. Many died.
Unsurprisingly, many of the same characters that were involved in the promotion of the bioterror scare under the old Homeland Security paradigm have been influential in promoting the COVID-19 scare under the new biosecurity paradigm. The phrase Homeland Security itself was popularized in Washington in the late 1990s and capitalized on by the Answer Institute, which formed an Institute for Homeland Security in 1999, led by Randall Larson, a professor and department chair at the National War College. The Institute prepared a course on Homeland Security, which was to be co-taught by Larson and his National War College colleague Robert Cadlick. Coincidentally, the course was slated to begin on September 11, 2001. Part of the course syllabus included a review of the Dark Winter exercise, which the Institute for Homeland Security co-created. The name Dark Winter derives from a statement made by Larson's colleague, Robert Cadlick, credited as a biowarfare defense expert during the exercise's fake news broadcast.
And the problem is we don't have enough vaccine to go around.
Meaning we don't have enough vaccine for the United States?
Well, I would like to think that, but we don't have sufficient stockpiles for the people in Oklahoma, Georgia, or Pennsylvania, much less for the entire United States population.
Well, that certainly doesn't sound encouraging. What do you mean exactly?
Angie, it means it could be a very dark winter for America.
Sobering. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Kavlik.
All right. So
a career officer and physician in the
We should pause there. We're headed into a break in a moment. And so we'll talk a little bit more, listen a little bit more and talk a little bit more. We've been listening to COVID-911 from Homeland Security to Biosecurity. Watch along in Q&A, James Corbett with Ryan Christian and Brock West. So we'll do that more. We'll come back on break. And then in the second hour, we will talk about what this means. Stick around. Right back.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
We'll be right back.
final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, September 11, 2023, 22 years after September 11, 2001, which was a catastrophic and catalyzing event, obviously, in the fashion of Project for New American Century's Rebuilding America's Defenses, that document that was published a year before September 11, 2001. There were other harbingers, obviously. One of the most provocative in my mind was the Rand Corporation monograph, a book that you can buy on Amazon that even Amazon says was published in April of 2001, titled Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security, which obviously did not exist prior to that, prior to the events of September 11, 2001. And then suddenly, after September 11, 2001, the Department of Homeland Security was stood up, as they say in conventional bad guy vernacular, in a matter of weeks. The infrastructure for another massive bureaucracy was just created out of thin air. I call it the jumpy castle, the blow-up jumpy castle of Homeland Security. So that was an interesting harbinger, preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security concepts, issues, and options. Again, something that most people don't understand. And you can even, again, you can jump on Amazon and see that the publication date was April 9, 2001. So what a fortuitous coincidence that Eric Larson and John Peters would write this manual for preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security. But as we have been listening to James Corbett, Ryan Christian, and Brock West discuss the documentary, James Corbett's documentary, COVID-911 From Homeland Security to Biosecurity, in the video titled COVID-911 From Homeland Security to Biosecurity, Watch Along and Q&A, which you can find over at corporatereport.com. I wonder if we understand the broader implications. Where is this all heading? What is the point? Is it just about power and control? Is it just about controlling people? We'll discuss that further in the second hour. We'll probably watch a little bit more to listen, as it were in this case, since it's radio, and talk about what the implications are here. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
People who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.